It tops the list of the seven deadly sins. Pride will lead us down the path of self-destruction unless we can learn humility. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick, and welcome to Crossing the Goal. We tackle the tough issues men might think about but don't talk about very much. We begin a series on the deadly sins. Pride, our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off a brand new series on the seven deadly sins here on Crossing the Goal. By now, you should know our Crossing the Goal team from Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Focus founder and president, Curtis Martin, and our coach, Danny Abramowitz, former All-Pro wide receiver in the NFL and former coach and the author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. Gentlemen, I got to admit, I've got all seven of these deadly sins in at least some part or another. Peter, why don't you sort of map out this series for us?
Well, you know, it's a series we all know a lot about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're kind of experts. We're kind of experts in one way or another on this.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, basically we're talking about the deadly sins, and that is, these are sins that have the potential, literally, to kill the spiritual life within us, the life that we've been given by God in baptism. Very dangerous. And, of course, pride is the greatest of them all. I will not serve. I will not. That's what's at the core of pride. That's the drive that's there that needs to be subdued by the power of the Holy Spirit and the cross of Jesus Christ to bring us to freedom. So I go from my will be done to thy will be done.
We look at pride, and it is one of the deadliest sins, but if you talked about also serving the Lord, well, that's what it is. It's a relationship between us and God. And if you look at our society, I just jotted down a few little notes here. One, we're not in awe of God. You know, we don't praise Him and thank Him for things. We act like we're on the same level with Him. Secondly, we don't acknowledge Him. If you look in society now, we're taking Him out of everything. He's not in the equation. Thirdly, we have the power within us. We don't need anything. We got it. We're the strength of it. Fourthly, we can accomplish things on our own. We don't need God.
Right.
And finally, this one I think is the most scary. Indifference. Mm-hmm. That I don't care one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, if you like God, good. If you don't, that's good too. I just don't care.
Yeah. Now, if you look at pride and why it's so deadly, is because it really takes the entire order of the universe and flips it on its head. Everything that's supposed to be up is down. Everything that's supposed to be down is up. We were created by God to receive our entire life existence from Him. Everything that He has is supposed to pour into us and give us life, and then we are supposed to serve and care for others. Instead, what we do is we turn to others other than God. We ignore God, as you said. And we turn to everybody else and say, hey, you serve me. You take care of me. It's all about me. And right. If I got any relationship with God at all, do what I want you to do, as opposed to what would you like me to do, Lord? It completely flips everything upside down and destroys us as we do it.
Yeah, and we're susceptible to this because of all these sins, because of the fall. You know, there's something weakened in us, and the scripture calls it the flesh, and it's that drive within us toward self-preservation, self-exaltation, me first, and it's something our whole lives we battle, and that's why Jesus gave us the Spirit to subdue the flesh within us and the drives in us so we could be free. We think we're free by responding to whatever the flesh wants, the drive within us. But that leads us to slavery. Jesus said, what you need a new spirit. You need my heart. You need what I've got inside me to subdue.
Why are you pointing at me when you say that?
Well, yeah, right.
Yeah, I actually shouldn't have to point.
You know, and another thing with that, and we'll cover it later on in the game plan with you guys in the red zone, what counteracts this, or counterbalances it, is humility.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing you talked about the heart, because St. Augustine says what? Our hearts will never rest until it rests with thee. And until we get that corrected in our society, we're going to have trouble with pride.
And humility isn't just putting ourselves down or thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less.
Yeah.
And really, seeing the truth about ourselves and putting God where God's supposed to be.
Exactly.
No, to be able to recognize that the desire for self-preservation is not a bad desire. It's just when it's divorced from God, who is the one hope we have for self-preservation, it becomes ridiculous. It's an act of stupidity and futility.
Right.
What we need to recognize is that our only hope is in the Lord, and to trust Him and then imitate Him. His Son gives us the perfect example. He comes and becomes a servant for the others.
Yeah. Problem is, we're pretty stupid.
You looked at him again.
No, he was looking past me.
Okay, right. So we're in trouble because we're relying on you guys for a game plan to deal with pride through the virtues of humility and other virtues. The game plan with Curtis and Peter coming up next on Crossing the Goal. But first, this quick timeout.
Welcome back. We're talking about pride today, one of the seven deadly sins. And after Danny's opening statement, we might not even have a game plan here. How thorough? Could you believe how thorough he was?
Danny knows a lot about pride. Well,
I'm telling you, the professor. That's right. Why is pride so deadly? And really, the fundamental reason is because it violates the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. It's the refusal from the human heart to acknowledge God as creator, as Lord, as sovereign. And I become, because I refuse that, I myself become God.
No, you're going to serve something.
Yeah, you're going to serve somebody, like Bob Dylan said in that song.
That's
you're
right.
going to serve somebody.
Exactly.
It may be the devil, but it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody.
It may just be myself. And we live in a world that challenges, is in the process of rejecting God and elevating something else. And Romans talks about
that. Yeah, and there's nothing new under the sun. It's funny, we think we're so evolved and so clever and so smart, and you know, now a new round of books are out, you know, talking about God is not great, and God is a, religion is a delusion, and if you're smart and you're scientific, you're going to throw off all that foolishness and stupidity. That's just a contemporary expression of what's been going on since the fall. And here's Paul's description. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who, by their wickedness, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and His deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God and give Him thanks. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, beasts, whatever. That's how it was expressed in those days.
And it's just that simple. We see people in the name of science, false science, claiming that they've become enlightened enough to prove that there is no God. And yet it's an act of foolishness, as we see. It's evident that there's a God. All we have to do is look outside. We live in a world where people want to say the world is chaotic.
Yeah.
And no, the world is ordered. It's broken, but it's ordered. And we need to be able to see that God manifests Himself both outside in the universe and also inside in our hearts. And to be able to recognize His presence and then honor Him. When we refuse to honor Him, we become foolish and then pride creeps in.
It's very good to recognize Him in His creation. This is what Romans just says, what you're just referring to. One of the things that we're not doing, and if you, the air we breathe these days in the United States and in the West is relativism, right? There is no truth, there's no objective truth, there's no absolute truth. Why? Because there's no absolute truth giver, there's no law giver, there's no design I have to respect, there's no plan. I determine what's real, I determine what's true. That's an attitude of pride, and it translates in all kinds of ways. Look at the battle over embryonic stem cell research that's happening right now. Here's an example. People will say, I will determine whether or not that's a life, whether or not it's a life worthy of respect. I will use that life in any way I want to. Why? Because I say so. And ultimately what we're doing is we're trying to preserve our own lives. We're going to use one life and take that life and use it as a means. And the church is standing up and say, hey, time out. God exists. God is real. That's a creature created by God with, you know, in His image and likeness. You can't relate to it as a means, just an instrument for your scientific research. You have to respect what God has made. I don't have to respect what God has made.
No, God is outside of us, and He's placed an order outside of us, and we have to conform our lives to it. It's not enough to say, as the Bible says, they did whatever was right in their own eyes.
There you
no,
go.
No, 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 not in my own eyes. Whatever's right, really right. Yeah. I have to find out what that truth is. It's not hard to find, the Bible tells us. It's evident before us. Yeah. It takes a little bit of wrestling. And it's not always easy because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we have to put off. There are people who are suffering from real diseases, and embryonic stem cells might be able to help. But that's not a legitimate way to get right. the help. We can't place ourselves above other people in that way and use them by killing them in order to make our lives better. It yeah. might also be bad science. I would argue that. We don't yeah. have time right now.
Well, it's great, Curtis. It's a great example. There's many we could have because there's boundaries that are set up by reality. God made reality. God made human beings as they are. So he allows us, we can find out, do all kinds of stem cell research, for example. We can use our intellect. We can use science. We can advance research. But we come right up to the point of, this is a human being made by God. I have to stop. I'm not God. Oh, yes, I am God. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No, you can't. So there's this battle going on in our culture.
Sure.
And the church is saying, stop. God is real. Don't be a fool. That's a human being.
And you know? That baby does not exist to serve you.
Right.
You exist to serve the vulnerable and the yeah. weak and the innocent. Jesus comes and addresses this in his life, both in his teachings, but by his very life. Listen to what St. Paul says about Christ in Philippians chapter 2. He challenges us and says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. It's the idea that God, who has everything, empties himself to serve and asks us to do the same. And when we will find ourselves in that gift of self. We live in a world right now which is saying, no, other people exist for me. And this is our economic crisis. All these things are all centered around people gathering all they can rather than being of service. We've lost yeah. our rudder. We've lost our sense of caring for other people. And everybody's in it for themselves. And everything's imploding right now.
And the antidote to that pride is humility, which is what you're describing, what Jesus did, which was recognizing the truth about who I am. I'm a creature. I'm not God. And I exist for him.
And that's why it's so important to live humility and reject pride. Brian?
All right. Thanks for the game plan, Curtis and Peter. Coach, aren't you proud of those guys?
I'm so proud of my boys over there.
You ready to mix it up with them in the red zone?
Let's go after it.
We're going to tackle pride next on the red zone here on Crossing the Goal.
I think having that humble way about you, a willingness to do anything, no task is beneath you. I think Jesus provides the example of washing of the feet and you know discussing about what it means to be a servant. And I really believe that. I think even with leading the team, when they see that that I have the willingness to get in and do anything, pick up trash, you know, walking down the hall, no task is too small. I think when they see that. I see people respond to that, and I think that's important. And so it's certainly something I believe in.
We're in the red zone on Crossing the Goal. Pride is our topic as we tackle the seven deadly sins. Danny, it seems fitting that you'd start us out here.
Yeah, right. I knew in pride you start with me, right?
You're the veteran.
No, I start looking at my own personal life, and you start thinking of the fall of Adam. I sort of had the same thing. The Lord allowed me to go into paradise. He says, here's the NFL. Here's a lovely family, Danny. Here's this. Here's cars. Here's some money. Here's a faith. Here's this whole thing. Just don't go down this wrong road. No, no, no. I know better. I chose to go down this road. Just like Adam, my selfishness. And I went down that road and found out, wow, this is not it. And once I turned my life around and then said, you know, no, I need the Lord in my life. I had him in my life, but at my convenience, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Whenever I wanted him in my life.
Yeah.
I was taking the credit, patting myself on the back, and love to hear people tell me you're the greatest and all that kind of stuff. My pride, my ego was in the way. And I act like I was a great family guy and a good Christian and all that stuff. That was a farce.
It's gotta be a trap, though, when you're in the NFL. Everybody's telling you how great you are.
Well, that's what happens out here. You know, that's what everyone, you don't need anybody else. You can do it yourself, you know.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. And I fell right into it. And I was brought up the right way and knew different. I chose to get out. We know. If we act like we don't know out here, come on. We know exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. That's the flesh in us, you know, that says, you know, come on. You know, we might be saying, oh, no, stop. But we're going, yeah, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, right. False pride.
You know, we were talking about how in the game plan about, we gave an example of embryonic stem cell research and how this is just one example of how human beings decide to ignore God's reality. But we should just think for a minute the many other ways that we do that sort of thing. We do the same thing in abortion, right?
Right.
Man, we decide, why? Because we want something God doesn't want us to have.
Our choice.
Right. We want to say, look, I will determine what that child is or how long that child should live or how long that child should die, you know? Or even something like this so-called same-sex marriage battle that we're in right now.
Right.
You know, at the root of it, is a refusal to deny God what belongs to God, is acknowledging the complementarity of male and female, of the sexes, and what family is as God has designed it.
Because he told us what marriage is all about.
I mean, you can see it, but we just decide. I mean, you can't make a family. Two men and two women can't make a family biologically. It's impossible, but we're going to ignore God's design, and we're going to get what we want.
And his gift. It's not just a design.
Yeah.
God is wise, but he's loving. He designed the world to bless us. And he gives us these gifts, and then we abuse them. You know, the fact of the matter is sexual intimacy feels good. And so then what do we do? Well, we take it outside of marriage and abuse it. No, it's supposed to be within marriage for the sake of openness to life. That's the design. And when that's the case, then it's holy. It's sacred. But we take what's sacred and we profane it. We remove it. And that's true. It's also, look at the sins of contraception. Abortion, as you already mentioned, we are just at war with life and with marital love. And we've got to recognize that in all these areas, in every other area of our life, that really the healing here is obedience, to turn back to the Lord, not to my buddy God. No, he wants to be our friend or our buddy, but only within the framework of being our Lord and our God.
Right.
Yeah.
And to say, I'm not here as an equal. I'm here to obey you.
I'm a creature. You're the creator.
Right.
And to recognize that Jesus said, not only do I need to obey him, but he turned to his apostles in Luke 10:16 and said, he who hears you hears me.
Yeah.
He who rejects you rejects me. And if they reject me, they reject him who sent me. So my obedience to Christ is manifested in my obedience to the church, to the Holy Church.
And isn't that true humility, recognizing God as God and we are the created, the creatures, really recognizing what and who we really are so we can become what he intends us to be.
And think about this, since we're on the abortion issue, think of all of this situation. My wife and I had relations. The next day I went to work, she did her life. 9 months later, a child came out. We had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do. I had to go raise more. You have to raise more money because you got more kids. He is the one that makes things happen. That brings
our wives work pretty hard too.
Yeah.
No, but they
but at the end of the day, what you're saying is
they got to carry that baby.
You know, God gives life and God takes it away. We participate. That's his rule, his realm, and we cross over that for our own benefit. We say, look, I don't want the burden of a child. I'm gonna kill that child. Or even something like, you know, the Lord's command for us to honor the Lord's Day. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, they refuse to acknowledge him as God and to give him thanks. And the commandment is honor the Lord's Day. And how many of us who are baptized as Christians just don't go, I don't feel like, I'm not going to church. I don't feel like, we owe the Lord that as his creature.
I don't need it.
I don't need that, it's boring anyway.
This is not just only in the Catholic Church. The Protestant churches are facing the same thing.
And the command is interesting because it doesn't just say honor, it says remember the Lord's Day. Why?
Yeah, right.
Because when we lose sight of God, we will forget.
Yeah.
And look at our observance of Sunday. It's just becoming more and more like another day.
No, it's like another day. People shopping, everything going on. And it's like nothing. And it's that whole thing of the indifference thing that I talked about.
It's a very big part of pride, actually.
And a huge issue. And but as you said, both Protestant and Catholic, people all of a sudden saying, I don't even need to go to church on Sunday anymore.
Right.
There's this huge, well, I go for a walk on Tuesdays in the mountains, and I think that's great. No, God said, come together with other believers and worship on Sunday in a special way.
Guys, let's tackle some ways to deal with this pride. Let's look for some solutions.
Well, biggest thing, you know, is the humility thing. First, to recognize right off the bat, like in anything, to recognize that He is the Lord, that He is number one. You mean to tell me, if you look around, look at all of our children, look at the world out here, look at everything, you mean to tell me there's not a creator, that there's not a God? Right off the bat, right there, if you just reflect on it, don't even go so deep. Just say, is there a God? And then what can I do in my life? We're not going to give awe and praise. Do we praise and worship Him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. I glorify you. I praise you, Lord. See, we want to raise your hands and praise the Lord. We'll raise our hands at the Steelers
touchdown,
game.
Touchdown, go. Yeah,
yeah. No, you're the greatest. The wave.
Do the wave,
the wave. But you go do that for athletes, and you're cool.
Yeah.
Raise your hand. I dare you to raise your hands in the church. You're a nutball, a freak. Goofy.
Yeah,
but you're raising your hands to the Lord. Yeah. But we're not going to do that. That's where we're off. We're off base here. You know, we're off target.
No, it's a huge attack to be faithful to the Lord. People say, oh, well, you're weird. You're a Christian.
Yeah, right.
And it's even
harder
if you're a Catholic Christian, because that's even weirder.
Right. Yeah.
And so you sit back and say, oh, maybe I should just be quiet right now. No, if you deny Him before men, He will deny you before His Father. It's time to step up and say, actually, the coolest thing on earth is to be in a relationship with God.
You know what gets me aggravated? It's in our own church. Let's call it like it is, we do on this show. In our own Catholic church, you're looked at as crazy. If you're, oh, they're so conservative, or they're charismatic, or they're this, or they're that. Instead of saying, no, these people are trying to praise the Lord. They're trying to honor the Lord in a special way. What's so bad about that? You're going to make fun of them. You mean to tell me that I was cool when I was out in bars and doing all that stuff? That's all cool stuff. But in church is not cool.
No, I agree.
That's more manly out there than for a guy to come and bring his family to church and do these kind of things. That's not a man. That's a wimp. But these other things are not. A guy that's not, that's home, that's really a true guy.
And even those categories of liberal and conservative, they're not helpful, because I'm going to label you, and if I disagree with anything, you sit back and say, look, the church itself is both liberal and conservative. We care for the poor. That's a liberal value. And we believe that marriage is where sexual relations should take place. That's a conservative value. We're both and. The fact of the matter is, I'm not liberal or conservative. I'm just sold out in love with Jesus Christ. And when he calls me to do what I'm supposed to do, I want to do that. Whether that takes me into what liberals like or conservatives like, we're going to frustrate every group in some regard, because Christ challenges. He comforts the afflicted, but He also afflicts the comfortable.
Another way you were talking about, you brought up issues of pride and stuff, is our money. We think it's our money. No, it's all God's. Donum Dei, gifts from God. Why don't they tithe like Renewal Ministries and Focus and Crossing the Goal and EWTN?
I know. Why don't you?
I know.
No. Yeah.
Right. I sent you $5 the other day. No, but that like it's mine. That it's all mine. We're finding out
and
how mine
at the
it
is. Bottom line is, we exist at the service of the Lord. The Lord said, humble yourself and you'll be raised up. You exalt yourself, Jesus said, you can count on this.
Humbled.
You're going to be humbled.
Yeah. The issues that are happening out here right now, it has nothing to do with economics and stuff. Is this pride factor that we got it all figured out, that we do this, that we don't need the Lord in our life. We don't need the Lord in our society. We don't need the Lord in our family.
Right.
We're finding out.
Fear the Lord and live the truth. That's the best way to respond.
You guys will get the last word from the End Zone. It's coming up next here on Crossing the Goal. First, this quick timeout. We're in the End Zone, wrapping our show up on pride. And gentlemen, to keep my pride in check, I have to constantly remind myself that all the opportunities, even what little bit of talent I have, are gifts from God. We can take pride in our work, we can take pride in our lives,
But I know I have to give all the glory to God. Peter?
Brian, you're right. The greater glory of God. One antidote to pride, brothers, is magnanimity, big-heartedness. To be humble is to recognize that God calls us to be great in God. And we can ask the Lord for the gift to be able to respond with that big-heartedness toward God and say, Lord, I want to be great for you and for your glory.
Great point, Peter. In addition to that, I think the heart, the foundation stone of humility is to recognize really what we're made of. We are dust and the breath of God. And God breathes his life into us for a brief amount of time on this earth. And then at a certain point in time, he's going to remove that and we're dust again. And so we should never claim much because anything we have is due to the fact that the breath of God is flowing through us. And this is why we have the ground to both recognize I'm nothing but dust, and even the dust was made by God. But for a moment, God will breathe through me. And so I should be willing to do great things and risk the possibility of failure for the sake of the kingdom, because God has called me into existence for a purpose. Allow God to live through you and then give him the credit when he does so.
Men, what I ask you to do is come out there, and we all deal with pride in one form or another, to sit down and pray, Lord, teach me to be humble, that I don't think so much about myself, but my whole intention is to serve others.
Of course, for you, Danny, it's so hard to be humble when you're perfect in every
way. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, thanks for being with us. Thank you for joining us. We will tackle this deadly sin of envy next time here on Crossing the Goal.
Four, three, two.
That's you, Peter.
Sorry, I thought he was going to say one. I'm sorry.
No, they don't say one. They say two.
He's like,
yeah. Then he's looking right. He's still fixing his eyebrows up, you know.
I thought you were going to say one.
Yeah, that was what we were all looking at you.